Tonight we're going to be talking about passing it on. I told Brother Steve that he asked me if we could do passing on it. So, you know, if anybody wants to pass on it, you can leave now. Otherwise, we'll talk about passing it on. I have not seen this book by Ron Blue. The author of the book that we have ordered, and we'll have may have copies of it by next week. The one that Ron Sadowski, the missionary Baptist, who a lot of this material came from, he references this splitting heirs in this lesson. And I haven't seen it yet, but actually I'd like to get a copy of it because again, my understanding is it's biblically based, has a strong Christian foundation to it, good insights. Our goal, as we're coming to a close, is to become successful Christ-centered stewards of God's resources in our lives, and thus representing the representatives of our faith. Again, trying to come back to the point of remembering that 100% of everything that we are blessed to have is really the Lord's. He has asked of us a tithe or a tenth that we give as a minimum back to Him. And as our hearts are led, that He would ask of us to offer beyond that tithe. The lesson goal for tonight is to provide a basis for passing down wealth and values from a Christian perspective. We're not going to get into you later on. There's a lot of different tools and techniques. We're going to allude to those, but what we're trying to do tonight is really establish a basis, kind of a basis for thinking and making decisions within your family in terms of passing on. Passing what on? I think oftentimes, and I think the crux of what this discussion is going to be tonight, is going to be what wealth that we may have, assets, possessions that we have. But I would challenge us, and as we go through this, we're going to talk a little bit more. The topic of passing it on, we always think about being at the end of our life. And I really think that the whole principle of stewardship begins much earlier than that, as in our families, what we're passing on in terms of what behaviors are we modeling as parents to our kids in terms of the value of stewardship and the importance of stewardships as the Bible sees it. When we talk about passing it on, I thought this quote was really actually very good. It comes from the complete book of Everyday Christianity. A will can be a family blessing, a form of gift giving, and a means of bringing peace and justice to our families. It can bless charitable organizations and encourage causes we embraced in this life. It can also be a hand extending from the grave to control, manipulate, divide, and bring retribution for wounds not healed before we died. So the will reveals not only the state of our financial assets, but the state of our souls. It's a lot there, but I think probably all of us, if we haven't experienced it within our families, probably know other families to where there's wisdom in what was said in this. And I think it's a great context that should stir us to say, you know, a lot of times, and we're going to talk about some of these principles, but sometimes what we want to do is we're going to say, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to be gone. It's not going to be my problem. But yet, again, I think it really is how we're prepared when we die. It says an awful lot about who we are and our character. And I would hope that our goal would be that it would be reflective of what Christ would have us to do. And our stewardship and these entire set of lessons really is a life journey. This potentially, as we think about it at the end of our life, but I think there's so much we can do no matter where we begin our journey as Christians and as saved individuals, reflecting on these and building a base against which to pass on and to our own personal lives grow, I think is very important. This topic is a sensitive topic. I think without proper planning, it's left to the state to decide who our heirs should be. When you leave it up to the state, not only do they determine who your heirs are, but they're going to take probably a minimum of 50%, if not more, of your resources. Or another way to put it, they're going to take 50% of what's God's, that God entrusted to you, to us. And I can probably guarantee you that 50% probably is not necessarily going to have the primary purposes of forwarding the kingdom of God in terms of how they would use those funds. And if this is about stewardship, if it's about what God has entrusted us with, I think as we think about passing our assets on and who we pass them on to, that really has to be at the core. God has entrusted it to us. So a thoughtful process in how we pass on what he's given to us as a blessing, I think in of itself is stewardship. If we don't give thought to how the person that we're going to pass it on to or the organization that we may choose to pass it on to is going to use what they've gotten from us, I think that that's a missed opportunity in terms of what God would have us to do with his resources that he's entrusted us with. Does that make sense? Do not underestimate the time, energy, stress, and family turmoil that can occur without proper planning. Reaffirms what it was in that previous slide. It can be significant. It can be a significant journey just trying to understand and negotiate the maze, the complexity of even putting together a will at a very basic level. I would suggest to you that putting a will together is something good to do no matter where you're at. Everybody in this room, I think, would be well served to have a will. Now, you may say, well, I don't have an awful lot. But it's more than passing on your possessions. It's also passing on your intent and your desires. As newly expected parents, you know, God forbid that something would happen to you all. But what are your heart's desires for what your child would be? Who would they be with? And each one of us probably has something in our own lives that we need to stand back and reflect in terms of what do we want to know. We're not going to talk a lot about it, but another topic that I think really is akin to this is advanced directives. We talk about a will about our possessions, but when I talk about advanced directives, that as we begin to, some of us, many of us, act on the behalf of our parents, and as their minds begin to be less clear, and as dementia begins to take its onset, and they are not be able to be clear in making some of their decisions, do you know what their intents are? Do they want to be kept on life-sustaining support? You know, these types of things can create a lot of division and angst and turmoil in the lives of a family if you don't know the desires. Because what happens is, as family members, we begin to live out all our guilts, all our missed opportunities. I wish I could have done this. And unfortunately, it's not always about what's best for mom or dad. We're trying to deal with some of our own grief and issues in our own life that we should have been resolved maybe a long time before, but it becomes that emotion becomes so tied up that we don't really see the forest for the trees. So again, it's another topic, but it's a topic that I think in its foundation is really important because it gets back to, you know, being clear to your loved ones and trying to minimize the amount of confusion in their lives by being clear about what your desires and wants are. Purpose and perspective. What we're going to talk about, this is kind of a brief overview of the lessons that's going to come down. We're going to talk about purpose and perspective of wealth transfer. And there's a series of decisions here. The first thing we're going to talk about is the transfer. To whom? And I really think that we need to think about these in order that they're kind of laid out here. And not say, I'm going to do 7 first, and then I'll go back and do 2. And I think that this is an orderly process that does make a lot of sense. So to whom are we thinking about transferring? How much? The timing? We can make some decisions today, potentially, to begin to pass certain things. There's certain reasons to do that. Some are tax advantages, but there may be other personal reasons that you might want to discuss and just consider. The title, what is it you want to pass on? Who are your beneficiaries going to be? We talk about the who, but exactly what is it that we're wanting to pass on? Tools and techniques, the how. And at the end, once you've gone through all these first 5, I think it's really important to sit down and then communicate and have a dialogue with those, especially within your family, about what your desires are. Whether it's around, I suggest to you, your advanced directives, your personal life, if your health goes, those types of things, and what you want to have done. And in addition to that, here's how our desires are and our will. Here's where our assets are at. This is what we have in the bank. This is where you get that information All those things are important. They can be things that are uncomfortable, but I can tell you if you don't have that, the chaos that you're leaving for your family is immeasurable. And you may say, well, I don't have a lot. It doesn't make any difference whether you have $1 or $1 million. The process is the same in terms of all the hoops and the loops and things that you have to go through for a person's estate. Purpose and perspective. Why do you want to pass on your estate?
There you go.
So we talked about that as one thing, yeah?
Yeah. Well, and there might be different elements that you want to pass on and how you want to do it. Because if you let the state do it, like you said, they're going to get some, and then they got rules that they're going to follow that, you know, maybe you want to divide it differently, maybe that's beyond just, because I think they're thinking basically living children, if there's living children, and then, I mean, if you wanted to do charities or grandkids or anything like that, include anybody else in any of that, it's not going to happen.
I think that there's the legal reasons, and that's what we speak to with the state, and there's an order there. But if you go back to the whole purpose of these Christian finances, I would suggest to you that there's also a faith-based reason to it. So our beneficiaries, or those that we want to pass it on to, can be successful Christ-centered stewards of God's resources in their lives and thus be good representatives of their faith. Now, you may stop and think about that and go, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But there are some difficult decisions, I think, to make that. You know, we're going to touch on it in a minute, but, you know, sometimes when you say about just splitting everything equally, you know, that on the surface say, well, that's the fair thing to do and it's off my conscience and go forward. But there's other things that you need to think, consider. And I think it's in context. Again, what we're passing on is not our assets. They're God's assets. And I think that's an important thing that probably kind of takes our gut and kind of maybe wrenches it a little bit. But it is God's and what he's entrusted to us. And to think that it's because we're dead and it's out of sight, out of mind, I think is not the biblical basis or decision that I think that God would have us to make. I think that there's three things in terms of looking at this and from a purpose and a perspective. Is that when you sit down and you begin to think through these six decision processes we're going to look at. The first is the treasure principle, and we've talked about that before. Lay up not yourselves for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now you may say, well, what does that have to do with passing it on? Again, the choices that we make, who we give it to, and how we give it, and how we've lived our life. You know, when you entrust something to somebody and they know that it was important to you to use what God has entrusted with them, and they used it for God's glory, I would hope that when you pass it on to a family member that they would understand and value that in the same way, because they would value the treasure where your heart was at when you made the decisions to pass it on to them. Does that make sense? So again, it starts with where is our heart at? What are we trying to accomplish when we're passing something on? And again, if it's based in, okay, I've got these assets and we can do all these great things with these assets for us, it gets back to, is it about us or is it about being stewards of what God has given us? The unity principle, I think this is really important because I think that I've seen in my life, people that I work with, some of you may have experienced this too, but therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The point here is that you got to be in unity. This is if you're in a married marriage and you're making these decisions, it's really important, because if you all of a sudden, Sister Joyce has one way that she wants to approach it and Brother Harlan has another way that he wants to approach it, you know, that in of itself creates a division within the marriage that can be very, very difficult. But it also tends to have a spillover effect into those to the family. So it's important that with your spouse, as you sit down and you talk about these types of discussions and these types of decisions that are on the horizon. The wisdom principle. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We always think about passing it on, retirement or our will and our assets. We always think about that our kids typically are the first ones that come to our mind on how we're going to pass it on. But the point that I want to make here is that this is really from the point that you have your children, the principles around which we pass it on, why it's important, this entire series of lessons about Christian finance, it's important to begin to train your kids up and model the behavior. And if your kids have seen you being good stewards of what God has entrusted them with, and you frame it that way to them and bring them up, then it's much easier when you pass it on to ensure that God's assets, what he's blessed you with, that it's going to be continued to be used in that same way. To whom? Children? Family members? Church? Some people may never think about passing on some of your assets to a church. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Charities? There may be things in charitable organizations that you've been associated with that really are biblically based. Could be mission point. There's other community organizations that aren't affiliated with churches that I think are very, very good organizations that you could choose to want to give some of your assets what God's blessed you with because they are in keeping with his principles. Friends? I've heard of some people that have passed on to friends. Can you think of others? Pets.
I've heard of it.
Wouldn't do it, yeah. Or the one gentleman who passed away and he gave it all to himself and said he wanted to bury it with him, and his wife wrote the check as an IOU. Yeah. You can't take it with you. You know, this is a pretty important discussion because, it becomes one of those things about what do you value? Where's your treasure at? And some people would say, well, if you don't give it to all your kids, then you're not treasuring them. And you can't feel guilt with it. You have to have that discussion, I think, among yourselves, you and your spouse. How much? We must learn to love our children equally but treat them uniquely. Does that make sense? We must learn to love our children equally but treat them uniquely. Does that mean everything is 50-50? Or 20-20-20-20-20 if you've got five children?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, yeah.
I know with my mom, first date, my oldest sister, who is physically handicapped, gets two-fifths of first date, and the rest of us get one-fifth.
And if you have children that are grown versus children at home, mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things that could play into why it makes sense.
Right.
And maybe all things are equal. You know, maybe there's not anything that makes it unique to one or the other, but there can be.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer here. But again, I think that some people start with the assumption that everything should be equal. Some people assume that it automatically needs to go to the kids. And any of those other, you know, components after that, you know, shouldn't even be part of the equation. How much points to consider? I think considering age. You know, what's the needs, the unique needs of that individual we talked about? It may be an age. There could be several years between the individual's age. There could be a disability, a health issue. Temperament. Oh, wow, that's kind of judgmental.
Kind of smart.
Demonstrated ability to handle money. I think this is big. I think this is big because remember one of the things we talked about early on that, and we talked about the people who get the lottery. You know, they go into debt. We can cause our kids to stumble. We could be doing a disservice for our children by giving them that. Some of you may say, well, that's a little uncomfortable. Well, maybe that's tough love. Again, where your treasure is where your heart's at.
Well, you may get me, but like in this particular case, maybe you have one that can't handle money. You're going to have to make provision maybe so they don't get it all at one time.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to think about
it. It's an excellent point.
That's an excellent point. I mean, again, when you know your children, and again, you don't want to set them up to fail, but you don't want, you know, the choices that they may make downstream, they may mature, and they may be able to handle it. I mean, I think to some degree that's, you know, trust. You see that. I mean, there's different mechanisms to be able to make those decisions. But that's the type, I think, of dialogue and the importance against which I think we should apply to these types of decisions. These are you're not going to hear about, but I think they're very important. Spiritual commitment and spiritual maturity. This one's kind of tough. But when you stop and think, if you start with the principle, 100% of what we have is God's. And we're stewards of what He's given us. And we're passing on, not necessarily ours, we're passing on God's. We should be trying to pass it on to someone who we think is going to embrace it as 100% God's. Not, my train just pulled into the station, now look what I can do. This could be a tough one.
I think it's also one to have a pre-conversation with, because otherwise,
absolutely,
it can do just the opposite.
Right? absolutely, Brother Steve. Right? And I think that last, and that's why I was talking about doing these things kind of in succession and trying to get down to it, so that when you get down to that last one, it's communicating. To me, it's sitting down and going through all these things. Now, you're not going to do a presentation like this, but there's elements of this that I think there is wisdom to sitting down and saying, you may not agree, but I want to tell you, and I want you to hear it from your mom and I or whoever, you know, these are our choices and this is our desires and these and why. Also, even saying, you know, here's how I hope that you will use what you receive from us in inheritance. We hope that you will use it for God's glory and honor. And I don't think there's anything wrong with putting, quote, hooks. You know, again, it's not a gift. It's God's resources. That's a real difference there. Marriage partner and their children. Maybe it's my son, my daughter-in-law. You know, their children. Again, there's a lot of things to think about in terms of, again, where your treasure is, what's your objective, what is it you're trying to do. And you don't want to create confusion or you don't want to create division within a family by giving them something. I mean, this, when you really stop and stand back, this is the thing, and this particular lesson caused me to have probably some of the most self-reflection in terms of the choices and being prepared, and then having the courage to have the crucial conversations, if you please, with your family members to say, this is why and what we're doing. When? Real high level, current giving. There are certain tax advantages and tax laws that would say that, you know, you can begin to pass on if you had significant assets, then you can give up to, I believe it's $13,000 a year or something like that, a year, $13,000 a year, you could pass it on to your children now, tax exempt. They wouldn't have to pay taxes on it. And so you're giving part of your estate away and you're avoiding any tax now or in the future on those assets. Okay.
For the receiver.
For the receiver. But even if I'm given it, no, it's, yeah, lowers the tax. The value of the value, huh?
It benefits both.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
The one you're giving it to, you don't have to pay it.
Right.
And then you, your estate is lower.
So the value of your estate is reduced by that amount.
Right.
Advantages of this, and these are real high level. Watch your children enrich their lives while they're alive. You might be able to get a sense of how they're going to be able to use the assets and the resources. You know, it's kind of like when they lived underneath my house, you know, I had a sense. Some people may think that's an advantage. Now, you can enjoy passing on something directly to your kids and seeing them get whatever satisfaction or they how they're going to grow when given something like that. Enjoy the fulfillment of supporting a charity. If you choose to do it, you know, to another local charity or something that you're deeply committed to above our tithe to the church, remember, because we said that tithe, that tenth off the top, I think we created a biblical case that was pretty concrete that we should tithe, that first tenth should go to the church. But if it's above and beyond that and you want to give, you know, you'd be able to see, you know, your resources to be able to be used in a way that you can see happen while you're still alive. That's kind of cool. Through current giving techniques, you might be able to reduce taxes and increase potential income. Part of that increasing potential income, again, gets back into certain types of trust with foundations that you can get a stream of income downstream, and we're not going to get into those, but it is a way to have an annuity that you can purchase now with your money that will benefit you long-term and avoid taxes. Disadvantages, it can be difficult to determine how much is enough. I mean, you know, you've got that, you know, well, I want to give some now, but I don't know how much to give now, and what if I give too much, then maybe I'm not going to have enough when I get old. I mean, so there's it's not a clear path to even say, if I want to do it, you know, should I do it, and if so, how much? And so, I mean, it's I think you can look at that as a disadvantage. You could give too much now and not have enough for yourself later on. Advantages, deferred giving. Deferred giving meaning you wait till the end. You're not giving it up now. More income potential now because you keep your assets. So you continue, if you're not giving your wealth away now, you know, you're building more and you're being able to get the return, whatever return on that amount of money that you might have given away, you're beginning to keep yourself. And again, depending on where your tax situation is, there may be no tax advantage at all to give any of your assets away today. Cushion against unforeseen financial difficulties. This is the conservative way. Disadvantages. Will the heirs or charities even survive the deferral period? And what I think I mean by that is that as we see people live older and older and older, there may be some wisdom if I'm 85 or 90 years old and I know there's no way I'm going to be able to spend all my assets, then maybe beginning to pass that on to my heirs in the current giving may make a lot of sense. Because again, remember, using it for God's glory and honor doesn't mean that we can't have an experience, pleasure of what's been passed on to us. I don't want to give anybody that God's entrusted us with whatever we have 100%. He wants us, he's not telling us we can't enjoy the assets and things that we have, the wealth that we build. Questions or comments on this? At this point, the title is, what are you passing on? And again, there's a lot of things. You can talk about your entire estate, but remember your home is an asset. You know, we have to talk about life insurance policies. We talk about there may be other property or other assets that you may have. I mean, so when you start talking about title and passing it on, you know, I think sometimes your first thing is, well, we'll just liquidate it all and we'll just give the money. But you can do that and you can write wills that way. But boy, there's a lot of stuff that goes with that.
talking about money and passing it on, but often it's not the money that creates the issues. There's a more, when you're talking about passing things down, it's often sentimental items that have no real value that are the things that cause the real issues with family. And then some of the pre-giving, some of those things, you could solve a lot of issues in the end by taking care of those, because
they have no value.
They have no value to anybody but the families. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Does everybody hear that?
Sentimental
values, yeah.
The other thing, you know, I mean, if you have a lot, that's one issue, but the other thing we have to remember is we're living to be older and older, and the giving it now to the deferred, you know, if you end up needing to be in a facility, I mean, those are running thousands of dollars a month, and one of the things that we're seeing with our parents is that, you know, wise planning makes it, you know, doable, but still it eats up a lot of money really, really fast. And, you know, so it's one of those things that, unless you have, like, there is insurance and those kinds of things for that too, but, you know, I mean, sometimes we want to get so hung up with passing it on. For me, with my parents, I mean, it doesn't matter to me if they have anything to pass on or not. I mean, for me, what I hope is they have enough to take care of themselves. Right. And, you know, that is, you know, they worked for that, and that's the main thing. Then if there is, that's up to them. But, you know, so sometimes those assets, you know, and we're living longer and longer, and health care because of that goes up and up. So sometimes when we start looking at that, we also have to say, if I give it away too soon, am I becoming a burden to them that now they have to take care of me?
Excellent points. And again, I think, you know, there's a logic in how these entire series of lessons were built, too, is because, you know, the lessons we've had recently about, you know, thinking about retirement, how much do we need, that's part of that equation of knowing, you know, that it's not all about the trips. It may be about our healthcare needs, which we talked about last week as being probably the most significant cost that's going to go up in our later years. And you're exactly right. Excellent point. You know, this is also about defining beneficiaries now. You know, if you have insurance policies, if you have 401ks, if you have 403bs, if you have a lot of types, any type of asset that you know, you may have, your spouse may be your first beneficiary, but beyond that, you need to have a secondary beneficiary, and how you want it split beyond that. I think that's really smart. And there may be things when you're doing beneficiaries, you may decide that my spouse, if I was to pass away, is going to be well taken care of. So one of the best ways to do things up front is to define your beneficiaries. This is going to pass not to Wendy, it's going to pass right to Kristen or Brian. Does that make sense? So your beneficiaries doesn't always have. If you're in unity with your spouse, you may make some choices up front to go ahead and avoid some of the hassle downstream in terms of attorneys and estates and that. Passing down stewardship, not ownership. I like that statement because I think that's what it is. It's the ownership of what God has given us. It's the stewardship, and it's not the ownership. He owns it. Tools and techniques. This next series of slides, we're not going to go into any of these at all. You know, I would invite you, if there's any of them that pique your interest, or I can print this slide off later and everything, at some point if you want. But this is just different tools that are out there in terms of how to distribute your estate, and each one of them has pros and cons, advantages and disadvantages. Wills, that's probably the most simple way. I mean, you could sit down and write a will out tonight, and it would be binding. Private foundations, living trust, AB trust. Don't ask me about these. I can probably give you at the 150,000-foot level, maybe. Living wills. Stretch IRAs. I don't have a clue what that one is. I've never heard of that before. Power of attorney. I think this is really big, though. This really gets down to where the rubber's going to meet the road if your health begins to fail or and your spouse isn't able to be able to make the choices for you, or, you know, this is happening with our parents.
you know, and I know Wendy has power of attorney, and you know, there's different, my sister has power of attorney from my father, and there's reasons why those things happen, and they're really important because, boy, it's difficult if you don't have that. It, absolutely,
you have to
find absolutely.
The system when you have it, but impossible if you don't.
Absolutely.
And I know that this simple title has been known to divide families.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what it gets back to, is that conversation of why. Yeah.
And then you can break it up also into who's in charge of the financial decisions,
right,
and who's in charge of the medical decisions.
Often two different people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you don't have the conversation that's written, then the question is, well, why did you pick them?
Right.
But oftentimes there's logical reasons as to why you would pick. Mm-hmm. For us, you know, Jocelyn is our power of attorney because Joshua's in Germany. That just makes sense. Now, one of the things is these things change.
Yes.
Ours looked different 10 years ago when our kids were home.
Yeah.
And so you need to, those change for us about every 10 years. They just change.
Which that gets harder as we get older to stay current, and that's a challenge that I'm experiencing with
right.
my folks.
And staying current means the laws, the change, and what you thought you did that was a one-time fits all, you know, is so outdated that you in fact are creating more taxes.
Even your advanced directives.
Yeah.
If
yes.
it's 10 years old, they're going to require a new one. So just all of it.
Limited partnerships, donor-advised funds, charitable remainder annuity trusts. I think this is one of those future ones that you pay and give a portion of your income now to a foundation, and then there's an annuity that comes out. Charity lead trust, irrevocable life insurance trust, wealth replacement trust. I think the point of this is there's lots of choices, and my recommendation as you get serious about this, that I think it's important that you maybe sit down with an attorney, estate planning attorney, people that this is what they do, because it can get real complex. And again, the reason to do this is out of love. Because if you're not doing it, think about how complex it's going to be for your family members that may not have power attorney, that may not have a knowledge of where all your different things are hidden. You know, they may not know that in the middle of the mattress is where a copy of the will is or something. I mean, it's all those types of things that we kind of smile about. But
just yeah. Where would you keep the life insurance policy?
Absolutely.
How many do you have?
Absolutely.
I mean, the 401k thing. I mean, where would you even get the information?
And if it's even kept in the bank, if I don't have access to be able to go to the bank, I may know it's in the bank, but if I don't have the signature, power of attorney helps in those types of things. Absolutely. Yeah. Why do you think most people avoid getting a will or trust or insurance?
Or just don't want to deal with reality all the time.
Yeah. I start thinking about it, you know, that means it's going to happen.
Can't make the decision as to who, what, how, where, why.
Yeah.
Don't
want to have the discussion because of whatever.
For years, we put off deciding about guardians for our kids because we didn't have a good choice. And just struggling with who would be, I mean, just put it off because we didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim's cousin and his wife, they have 3 disabled children and 1 child that isn't. And they have just in the last couple of years started working on getting everything set because the oldest girls were going to be 18. They had to have it in place before they turned 18 or the state would take care of it. And they found that out, and so they started doing theirs. It is so complicated for them because all those 3 girls get disability for the rest of their lives. And whoever, and you know, who's going to take care of them physically day to day, and who's going to take care of their financial needs are 2 different, you know, are polars apart.
And you know, in this is my own personal opinion, so you can take it for what it's worth. I, you know, we can become overwhelmed with the complexity of it, so we just paralyze ourselves, and you don't even want to go down it. But at a minimum, you know, the basics are what's important to you and have that conversation, you know, with your family, with your spouse, and it may be only half a dozen things, but you know, to me, the must-dos is think about the advance directive. That's probably even more tougher to do than a will, but you know, it'll tear a loved one apart to have you be in a hospital room or at home passing away and not knowing what their desires are. That's a gift to be able to tell them that. To be able to say, this is what my desires are. That's a gift. Because I've seen families and what I do really be at tension on that point. My estate's too small. I don't have enough to worry about. It's too expensive.
It's more expensive not to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, Sister Glenna. These are rationalizations. I don't have the time. Well, that may be true. Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure what to do. And my recommendation there is just start. Pick up the phone. Even what we're doing now, go out and get the book Splitting Heirs. I can't imagine that's that expensive, and if nothing else, begin to read it. It'll send you in directions.
You can always do the minimum, which is a will and health directive.
Right.
So that's kind of in power attorney. Those are kind of the three minimum things. Then from there, you can get more complicated.
Right.
But get something in place. Right. And I don't remember the name of it, but there's a thing online, if you type in wills, that have, for $50, you get all states, and they'll have those three things. The will, the health directives, the power of attorney.
Right.
They all come in a pack, and it's about 5 pages long, and it's binding in all states. And it's very, very inexpensive, so you can at least do the minimum.
That's great wisdom. Sometimes I think we fail to do that because we think, well, it's so simple or so cheap, it can't be worth it. But those three things are gifts to your loved ones.
And they come in that pack. So.
Right. Fear. This gets back to the one that you said, you know, I don't want to talk about this topic. And then the last thing, reasons to have a family conference. These previous five things are really important. Increased understanding for your heirs. Pass on values, life lessons, and faith journey. I think this is so important, but it's important to be doing that at the beginning, if you're blessed to be saved and to be in a Christian family when your children are born. This is, you start these, and you can reflect upon these values and life lessons and your faith journey. But this hopefully won't be the first time that you have the discussion about what you value and your life lessons and your faith journey. But I think this is the foundation. This is the context, I think, is important against why you're passing on and the choices that you're making. Wisdom. Again, what's important to you? It's the application of all that knowledge that you've gained. Talk about the wealth transfer process, the complexities of it. This is where my will is at. This is where all the different components are at. This is my desire from the advanced directives. This is where I think this type of discussion takes place. I think it's important to talk about giving, too. Giving back to the Lord. What is his? And my prayer would be that those that I pass, that Wendy and I pass on, is that they will use that to God's glory and honor. Again, where's the treasure? And I think those are the types of choices, as difficult as they may be, about how you're passing on God's resources, not your resources. So we've basically covered both of these sides now. We'll probably pull it all together and talking about making it happen and kind of doing a brief review, and we'll probably refer to this again. But what we've tried to do in these series of lessons on the first ones that come up of really talking about establishing that biblical solid foundation from a biblical standpoint of view and then applying those biblical principles to resources and tools that we have available to us every day to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. So, any last comments?
the slides for each of these, each of your lessons?
There is not a problem. If any of you that want a copy of the overheads that I've used, let me know. It's going to be 8 lessons, and it's probably going to be, it could be upwards of 40 pages. Now, I can probably put maybe 6 on a page, so and they'll be about that size. So anybody that would like to have those, let me know. The other thing is that the book, which the core, those should be here, any of the families or individuals, if you want more than one, that would like to have one of the books, they will be available. And then I also have several pages that are really a lot of the verses we talked about, but just remember we started out, there's like 2,300 verses, I think it is, in the Bible. It's not all 2,300, but there's just a ton of verses that are good to read about financial matters in our lives. And any of you that would like a copy of that, let me know too. So what I'll do is I'll put up a, next week or Wednesday, we'll put up a sign-up list, and I'll put it back there. And if you want copies of it, I'll make it available to you, and we'll do that.
Even do electronic.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody wants electronic copies of all this, I can email you all these
or put them on a CD or whichever.
Yeah, works, yeah.
Put them on the website.
What's that?
Put them on the website too.
Potentially, yeah.
We could do that.
Yeah. Brother Gray went, great idea. I want it. I'll be done tonight. Yeah. Anybody else have anything? Full stand.